Good afternoon and welcome to Mekonomen Quarter One Presentation 2019. My name is Anna and I will be your coordinator for today's conference. During this call, you will be on listening only. However, in the end of the presentation, you will have opportunity to ask questions. If any time you need assistance, please press star zero and you will be connected to an operator. I will now hand you over to CEO Per Oscarsson, your host for this call. Thank you.
Thank you. Welcome, everybody, to this presentation of the first quarter of 2019. We have a record sales and improved EBIT, and that's, of course, both due to the acquisition, which was made last year, but also a good improvement in the old business, so to say. We have been the last quarter and will be in the future as well, focused very much on profitable growth. We have an ongoing cost-saving program, which will give a saving of 65 million annually as from the fourth quarter this year. 30 million of that will come already in the third quarter. And of course, we will act on unprofitable businesses, streamlining our organization, and very high prioritization of our projects. We felt that during the first quarter, the market was stabilized. We did not have that cold winter as last year, of course, but still a stable market. But we also have a positive effect that the Easter holiday did not take place in the first quarter and will be in the second quarter this year. And then we also have the two big projects, Central Warehouse and Web Catalog, which is going to, according to plan, and also the integration of the acquired companies, FTZ and Interteam, are doing well according to plan. And with that, I will hand over to Åsa Källenius, CFO, who will start on page three.
Yes, hello everybody. On page three, we have some changes in our reporting. From Q1, we have new business area structure, we have some new key figures, and also, of course, the IFRS 16 implementation that affects our P&L and balance sheet. First, reporting segment. We will, from the first quarter this year, Q1, report in four business areas. And the reason is that we in Q1 in Mekonomen Group implemented a new organization and governance structure. So to better reflect that, we are now also reporting in those four business areas. And those will be FTZ, Interteam, Meka Mekonomen Business Area, and Sørensen and Balchen. We also have some new key figures in our reporting to be more transparent and better reflect our figures. The first one is organic growth that will be presented both per business unit and on group level. And with organic growth, we mean net sales adjusted for number of workdays, acquisition, divestments, and currency effects. I will come back with that to that a little bit later. We are also adding a key figure, adjusted EBIT, and also adjusted EBIT margin. And by adjusted EBIT, we mean EBIT adjusted for any items affecting comparability, and also amortization for material acquired intangible assets. In this case, FTZ, Interteam, Meka, and Sørensen, and Balchen, to better reflect how Mekonomen really is performing. I will come back to that as well. Looking at IFRS 16, primarily affecting leasing contracts pertaining to premises and vehicles, net debt is not affected at Mekonomen by this. Our definition of net debt has always been without leasing liabilities. Looking at the P&L first, the effects IFRS 16 has on the P&L, EBITDA is very much affected. We have a plus effect in EBITDA of 130 million. Excluding, we have 245 million and including 375. Coming down to EBIT and adjusted EBIT, the effect is plus 4 million. So adjusted EBIT is 214 with IFRS 16 and 210 without. Then we have financial items, financial net. Affected by 11 million negative, making profit of the financial items minus 7. Cash flow is not affected at all, just movements between different rows. Net debt is not affected at all. Equity to assets is affected. Excluding, we have 36% and including 31%. So to the next page, page 4, our first quarter in the group. As Per said, we had a very good sales in the quarter, amounting to 2,909,000,000, so a change, a growth of 103%. 103% of that acquisition and divestments is 98.5%, organic growth 2%, currency 1.5%, or number of workdays 0.8%. It was the same number of workdays in the group except for Norway that had one more due to Easter last year. Adjusted EBIT 214 to be compared with last year 99, and EBIT 170 compared to 60 last year. I will now go to the next page showing our EBIT development by business area. We had a bad quarter last year. As you remember, we had a write-down of DAB stock, making EBIT in Q1 last year amounting to 60 million. This year we added EBIT from FTZ and Interteam amounting to 92 million. Meka Mekonomen improved their EBIT with 30 million and also Sørensen og Balchen with 10 million. And we added some amortization from the acquired FTZ and Interteam, summing up to an EBIT of 170 this quarter. Next page, a simple explanation regarding adjusted EBIT. We have EBIT of 170 million. We have in this quarter 5 million in integration cost, adjusting our organization to the new setup after the acquisitions we did last year. And that amounts to 5 million. And we also have amortization of 39 million, summing up to an adjusted EBIT of 214. Last year we had 60 million in EBIT. We had 20 million in items affecting comparability, and we had 19 in amortization, summing up to 99. So to the sales and results in our business areas. First, FTZ, our Danish operation. FTZ is now included 7 months in the group since September last year. Net sales increased with approximately 5%, positively driven by favorable sales to growth, growth to affiliate workshops and larger customer. EBIT is in line with last year, and as you know, we have no exact figures from quarter one in FTZ last year, since it is before we bought the company, and they had different financial quarters than Mekonomen has. But a good month for FTZ, EBIT margin of 11, as we expect. FSF to have.
Yeah, and then we move to page number 9 and into Team. That's our Polish business, also included 7 months in this in the group. Very strong sales development. It was up 19%. That's both export sales to neighboring countries, but it's also good sales develop in the Polish market. However, as we had said, Poland is a very high competition market and an extremely price pressure, and they are doing an EBIT of -1, which is, of course, not satisfying, but I would say that this is also in line with our expectations for this business, so it's not a surprise in that way. On the next page, a little bit more about the Polish market. We have a market which annually has a growth of around 4 to 5%. So I would say that this first quarter, we are even on the domestic Polish market, we are better than the yearly market growth. If that is thanks to market shares, or if the market is this couple of months has been stronger, that I'm not in a position to say. We don't have that kind of statistics. The EBIT margin also is an effect of course, of investments done to be able to grow more in the future. There is a very interesting long-term potential in this market because we believe in a consolidation to be happening in the next coming years. There is also a lot of other things which we can do in order to improve the business efficiency. And of course, also we have some of the purchasing synergies which we announced earlier will help the Polish market as well. When that starts to be coming into the products and into the stock and out to the market. Private label is very important in Poland, and because it's one way to differentiate us from the competitors and be able to get some better market. We have two private labels, Kraft and Sakura, who Interteam has been working with for some years now, which is very successful in the market. We also just recently launched a new private label when it comes to products within workshop equipment. Even though there is a huge market of old cars in Poland, and even though it's very few electrical hybrids cars, it's very interesting to see that our company, the team, are already doing training for mechanics into electric and hybrid. So that means that we are very early in the Polish market when it comes to innovation around this, the upcoming car fleet. And as I said before, we have a lot of learnings from Norway, which is far ahead in this development, which we can use in the other markets.
Business area Mekam Ekonomen had a good sales quarter, a favorable sales trend, and that is, of course, to compare with the weak first quarter 2018. We had a very good sales to our affiliated workshops. As Per said in the beginning, our central warehouse project is proceeding as planned. EBIT is positively affected by the higher sales. We have an increase in gross margin and improved profitability in smaller operations. That could, for instance, be Prekas as an example. Net sales is up 9%. Adjusted EBIT is up from 86 to 106 in the quarter. And EBIT is 103 and compared to 73 last year, with an EBIT margin of 7.
Yeah, and then we move on to Sørensen og Balchen. They actually had some gross sales of DUB products last year, which we, of course, don't have this year. So they are negatively impacted by lower sales in DUB products, but had made also one acquisition, which contributes positives, and also thanks to lower DUB sales and another product mix, the gross margin has improved. And this is a company which, as always, have very efficient cost control, leading to a net sales which is on pretty much on the same level as last year, an EBIT of 24 million, which is much better, of course, and EBIT margin of 13% in this quarter. Yeah, then we'll move on to the market and the footprint. The first slide is page 14, where we try to explain a little bit about the market, main market and trends. I will not go through all the figures, but the trends is, of course, that we have changing customer expectation that goes to digitalization. It's online booking and other future things, and then also a trend with another car fleet running on the roads. The next generation of cars, of course, electric cars, and also higher share of software and more electronics and more onboard diagnosis and so on, which makes the cars continue to be more and more advanced. When it comes to competitiveness, we see, of course, connected cars as one thing which is important to for all the actors in the market to be able to use that data. We believe that there's still room for new actors to move into this area in different levels, but also a continuously consolidation and integration. I can say that Sweden, Norway, and Denmark is quite high solid consolidated, but there is still room for more consolidation. And then, as I mentioned about Poland, there is almost everything still yet to be happen. I'll move on to the next page, which describes our footprint at the moment, where you can see that 47% of the business comes from MECA Mekonomen. The second largest is FTZ with 29%, and then we have Inter-Team and Sørensen og Balchen. We have no bigger changes in number of stores or number of workshops. Focus when it comes to number of stores or branches is that we should have a good footprint to be able to distribute to the workshops locally at least a couple of times a day. That's the main purpose of that network. When it comes to affiliate workshops, it's most important to have to recruit new ones which are bigger, because we sometimes see that the smaller workshop has more difficulties in the challenges for the future. But of course, we have concept for and very good offers for the small ones as well. But when it comes to this footprint, it's most important that we have the right number of mechanics to be able to serve our consumers. We have some strategic market positions, and one which I think that we maybe don't talk enough about is the advanced training academies, which we have in all the four main markets. We had it by tradition and history in Sweden and Norway, but that's also a very strong part of the DNA for the acquired companies in Poland and in Denmark. So this is something where we are very well developed and are very good prepared for the future. And of course, there is also potential synergies when it comes to best practice and so on. There is already a lot of projects which is going on cross border between all this in all the markets. And as I said before, Norway will since they are so have such a high share of electrical and hybrids, they will be a good teaching market for the other markets. And we're also proud that in Norway we are launching a training for second degree autonomous cars. Autonomous is degreed from 1 to 5, and the level 2 is the actually the most advanced level which we have in regular traffic today, where they are ready or doing training for that. And being still in Norway, we can talk about the that Mekanor has been an exclusive distributor of Sharebox. Sharebox is a new system for leaving and picking up cars through a box with where you pick up the key, but this is also connected to the mobile payment systems which we have, and it's connected to the ERP systems which the workshop uses. So this is a very convenient way for the consumer to leave the car, but especially to pick up the car whenever it's suitable during the day or night. We just recently, half an hour ago, sent out a press release about B2B and car fleets. We have had a very positive trends signing agreements with a lot of company and fleet companies. We have Avis Leaseplan, PostNord, Halmstad Kommun. And we also have quite recently made a nationwide agreement with Uber in Sweden. And that is, of course, very good for our workshop because of the sales and services. But we believe that we, with our very, very wide and big network, we are actually a very good partner for these companies because we are located in very many places and that gives very high flexibility. And as always, the workshop concept offers availability, quality with maintain new car warranty, resale value, and as well as all quality guarantee on work and parts. In Denmark, our Danish company FTZ, they have launched a new workshop concept, which is the first sustainability workshop concept. Automaster is an already existing concept, but now they are launching Automaster E+, which two selected workshops within the Automaster, they offer extended focus on environment, sustainability, recycling. They are also specialized on service repairs on electric hybrid vehicles, and every of these workshops has charging stations and so on. So that's also a concept which is well positioned in the for the future. And then lastly, focus for 2019, rest of the year, we will continue with the focus on profitability, improved sales efficiency and cost control. We have the cost saving program, which we announced in February, which we are working on, and that will give effect in the third and fourth quarter. And we are still acting on the unprofitable business to either to get them profitable or find some other solution for that. We will continue to focus on customer value, and that's where we develop our concepts to affiliated workshops and other B2B customers. but always with a consistent consumer insight, so we know what kind of market they will operate on now and in future. And we will also focus on growth and to develop our core and venture businesses, mainly organic growth, but also to leverage on the initiated strategic investment, which we are doing. That was the last slide for the presentation, and then we will hand over for questions.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you would like to ask a question in this meeting, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. You will be introduced with your name when it's your turn to ask your question. So please press star 1 now. And the first question comes from Niklas Fahm from SEB Equities. Please go ahead. Your line is now open.
Thanks, operator, and good afternoon, everyone. My first question would be on price adjustments that you made. It would just be very interesting to understand how much of the organic growth is actually being generated from changes to price mix. And a follow-up question would actually be, have you also changed pricing in Denmark? Obviously, the Danish krone is more linked to the euro, but still, have you actually changed pricing in Denmark and FTC as well, please?
Well, I can start with Denmark. They are doing price adjustments more on a regular basis, and it's mostly to compensate for higher costs for personnel and such things. But there hasn't been any extra price increase in Denmark. And exactly as you say, the Danish krone is not affected by the currency problem which we have in Sweden. We don't have the numbers from how much of the organic growth comes from the price adjustment that was done in the beginning of the year, and it was done to compensate for higher purchasing prices from the suppliers where we buy in euro. So I don't have that number.
Mm. But as a fair assumption, would it be correct to say that you tried at least to increase prices by just as much as you lost on the sourcing costs, or have you actually tried to add some more to your own margins?
It's not to increase the margins. Of course, we would like it to be that way, but we have a quite strong competition as well, so we can compensate for purchasing prices, but not increased margins.
Mm. And then my second question would be just on the final page. You in the presentation, you highlight obviously a few company-specific factors that you know will drive earnings going forward. And I just note the sort of your comments on operating leverage throughout the summer. Now that you've increased the number of directly owned stores, would you care to elaborate a little bit of that? Should we change sort of our operating leverage assumptions sort of as of now going forward, or could we still look at, you know, Q2 and Q3 last year? Or have you actually increased your own number of workshops that much that we really need to take a second look at how we're forecasting the summer period this year and onwards, please?
No, we have not increased the number of company-owned workshops since I would say that the last acquisition was in the end of last year. Now it's more, I would say, organically that we sell one and buy one. So it's nothing you should be taking. It will look pretty much like last year in that perspective.
Okay, that's very clear. Thank you so much. And final question, if I may. We discussed, I think towards the end of last year that, awaiting the strategy for Inter-Team, you would like to come back to us discussing sort of growth versus profitability in Inter-Team specifically. Have you sort of come to a sort of plan now that you would like to communicate on where focus will be? Will it be to sort of grow faster than the market and take market share, or will you prioritize profitability and into team in 2019, please?
It's too early to answer that question, but it's work which is ongoing. I don't think that we will, as we said already when we made the acquisition, I don't think that we will do a rapid growth plan, which it includes opening a lot of new branches in Greenfield, which was part of their strategy before. But that is nothing, but we can increase sales in a lot of other ways. But if it will be that strategic focus, I would like to come back when we have finished the work which we need to do.
Yeah. All right. Thank you so much for taking all these questions. I may come back later in the call. Thanks.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, just a reminder before I let the next person through. If you would like to ask a question, please press star 1. We do have a person whose name is Stellan Hellström from Nordea. Please go ahead. Your line is now open.
Thank you. I'd like to ask about the gross margin improvement in Mekonomen. Meka, what this was due to, and also if you can comment maybe on how we should think about this going forward, given also that we've seen some strengthening of the weakening of the Swedish krona.
I think the main reason for the improvement is product mix. Which is better, and of course we had in that business area also last year we had Dove sales with a lower margin, which we don't have now. So that's one factor, but it's I would say product mix in generally. We follow the currency development, of course, every day and every week, and as it is right now, it. Needs us to have some discussions about further price increases, but we haven't taken any decision about that at the moment. But this level, 1065, 1070, that's a little bit too high yet, just not to act on it.
Mm. Maybe follow up just on the improved mix. Is that something that is sustainable, or is it? I understand the DAB, but besides from that, is it seasonal for Q1 and winter related product, or is it something that potentially could continue into coming quarters and improve mix?
I don't want to speculate at that, but because just to give you a hint of what it can be, except for DAB, for example, when it's a colder winter, we sell more batteries, and batteries has a little bit lower margin than if we sell other products. And so, yes, if it will be cold, hot weather, it can change this also. So I would be, I don't think I would like to speculate how this will develop in the future, but we it's a lot of different components.
All right. Also, a question on another question on Mekonomen Meka. The Precast business has been very sort of cyclical in the past, with certain quarters with exhibitions, etc., has selling a lot and then quite calm for a long period. Is this quarter in any way unusual in that respect?
No, it's not unusual, but I would say compared to last year, they have made a huge improvement when it comes to both sales and EBIT, which has nothing to do with fluctuations depending on exhibitions and so on. But it has been, during the last year, it was more or less of a turnaround case where we have changed a lot of things, both in the assortments, in the distribution, in the sales organization and so on. And it seems to be on the right way at the moment. So that's good.
Right, very good. I saw that you also exclude the lease obligation that's from the net debt. And is this also how the banks view your indebtedness? And should we compare then that to the sort of new way of accounting for EBITDA, or do you make an adjusted EBITDA as well?
Yes, the net debt is calculated towards the bank as we do without the leasing and IFRS 16, but it's also excluded in the EBITDA the way we report the bank.
All right, so that means that your indebtedness, the way the banks use it, hasn't changed really, and yeah, good. Is there would you at any could you explain where or how far we are from your covenants in on the debt?
We, as you've perhaps seen in the report, we are not writing the exact figures, but we are well under the max covenant.
Yep. And the max, is that a number that is changing over time, or is it something that you have agreed of a fixed number?
It will change over time, but we are well under.
All right. Good, thanks.
And the next questions come from Mika Karppinen from Handelsbanken. Please go ahead, your line is now open.
Yeah, hi, this is Mika from Handelsbanken. Small housekeeping question concerning this adjusted EBIT bridge reporting on slide six. So is this amortization 39 million Swedish crown, is that the sort of normal amortization of intangible assets which you have been booking also earlier in the previous years, but now you are treating them as a, how to say, non-recurring item and excluding that from the adjusted EBIT? So is this figure going to be the same also in the coming quarters?
Yes, you mean the 39 from the amortization?
Yeah.
Yeah, it will be the same.
Yeah.
And an additional 20 million from the acquisition of FTZ and Inter-Team, and as we had before, 90 million per quarter from Sørensen og Balchen and MECA. So it will stay the same as long as we are having amortizations to do. MECA and Sørensen og Balchen will end in 4 or 5 years, I think, but otherwise it's 10 years.
Okay, now I get it. Good, thank you.
And before we let the next person through, ladies and gentlemen, if you would like to ask a question, please press star one on your telephone keypad. The next question comes from Mats Liss from Kepler Cheuvreux. Please go ahead, your line is now open.
Yeah, hi, thank you, and congrats on a good set of numbers this quarter. And just a question here regarding the synergies you mentioned when you acquired the two companies last autumn, and well, if you see them as more, well, more or less conservative today than you did last autumn, the 100 million I was thinking about.
I can confirm what we said last time, that we are confident that we will deliver that 100 million. We still don't see it in the P&L because it's bonuses which will be recalculated when we are closer to the year end, and it's also better prices which should be transferred to the stock or the inventory until we get the full margin. But the negotiations with the supplier has been successful, so we are confident.
And the other part of the potential synergies there with your main shareholder LKQ, is there anything to say about that?
I would say pretty much the same thing. We have within the purchasing agreement with LKQ, it's also done as we expected, and of course some of the synergies which we get on FTZ and Inter-Team will be helped out that we have a good supplier relations through LKQ.
Yeah, good. And finally, just about the seasonality of FTZ. I know we have been talking about that before, but I guess the first quarter compared to the, well, remaining quarters of the year, is there any sort of well, seasonality seasonality. Is the first quarter slowest of the year or one of the better?
Since we only have them 7 months in our books, and then I don't know how easy it's to compare. So we have actually didn't do that calculation, but I don't see that FTZ should have any big difference in seasonality compared to Sweden and Norway. But we haven't done the math.
No.
They should be affected by the same as all Mekonomen groups, and that is number of work days, the weather, holidays, etc.
Okay. Well, finally, just about the first and second quarter, I guess normally the second quarter is a pretty good quarter ahead of the earnings seasons, etc. And then again, we have the Easter impact now, and I guess in Norway they celebrate a lot of Easter.
Yes.
How should we see that? Could you say something about the two quarters there in the first half?
Yeah, I think it's important to, as we said, that we have a positive effect of the Easter in the first quarter, and then, of course, that will have a negative effect in the second quarter. And up to you.
Yes, the number of workdays is the same in Sweden, one more in Norway, but there is, as you said, much effect of Easter, especially in Norway when they take day off the week before Easter. And we have done some calculation and compared the week before Easter this year with 2018, and we can see that it's an effect of approximately half of the organic growth, you can say, comes from some kind of Easter effect. But it's very hard to say because it's dependent on so many things, the weather, etc. But there is an effect, and as we see it, you could see it's one half of the organic growth, and that would equal 15 million-20 million in sales in old Mekonomen Group.
Okay, great. Thanks a lot.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you would like to ask a question in this meeting, please press star one on your telephone now. There is nobody at the queue at the moment, so if you would like to ask a question, you'll be introduced straight away. And we do have another one from Niklas Fhärm from SEB Equities. Please go ahead, your line is now open.
Thanks again. Just a follow-up question, just to make sure on the net debt calculation. I'm referring to the table on page 20 in the interim report. Would it be fair, is it correct that the sort of actual net debt, including IFRS 16, would be the same as not deducting what you deduct in that table? Is that the IFRS net debt?
I'm not sure. This is the way our net debt is calculated. So I'm not sure I understand what you mean.
Okay, let me make it very, very simple. The way I understand it is that the 4.185 billion in net debt as reported is not including the IFRS 16 adjustments. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay. And if you would include the IFRS 16 adjustments, what would the net debt be then?
Yeah, if you look at the balance sheet on page 12, you can see that we have added 1,449 in long lease liabilities, and we added 511 in short lease liabilities. So the additional liabilities from leasing is approximately 2 billion.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
Yeah.
That's all.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you would like to ask a question, please press star one on your telephone keypad. Thank you. We do one more reminder, ladies and gentlemen. If you would like to ask a question, please press star one now. There is no questions coming through, so I will hand the call back to you again. Thank you.
Thank you. Then we will end up here. We have an AGM in a couple of hours to attend to as well. So thank you very much for listening. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining today's conference. You may now replace your handsets to end this call. Thank you.